Hey, welcome to Sierra Community Church. We're glad to have you. If you're visiting with us, you're kind of getting to see a little bit different of a Sunday. This is the Sunday where we really celebrate our kids graduating their midweek programs, as Raphael talked about. Nick touched on that as well. These kids here in Breakout have been part of a four-year midweek Bible study that meets on Wednesdays. And if they were part of the Kids Quest program before that, that means that a lot of these kids have been coming to midweek Bible study for 8 years here. You know, that's just amazing. Yes, you can clap. Yes, please do. And the kids that you saw up here, the worship team, those are our high school kids, and they've been part of this program for, the seniors for 4 years now. This is their last time being able to lead worship. Like Roth said, I want to reiterate how much we appreciate the kids being honored and allowed to be a part of this church family and lead on a Sunday rather than, you know, being part in the loud corner and somewhere else. And we lose the seniors this year. We replace them with freshmen. And the cycle begins again and again. It's exciting. As a teacher, it's something that I look forward to every year, but also, it's bittersweet because you see the kids go, and it's sad to see them go, but we're excited to see, you know, what God's got for them in the future. So, looking forward to today and this Breakout Sunday, celebrating our kids, and you heard one of the kids there read a passage out of Matthew and the firm foundation in Christ. We really sat down and thought about together, Lori and Roth and I, you know, what should we talk about today? And the Breakout kids have been focusing really primarily on this theme of the foundation of Christ and what it means to have Christ at the root of everything that we do and everything that we are. And Roth had these songs in his mind, you know, the solid rock and Christ the firm foundation. So it became pretty simple where I should go, right? You know, as the old hymn says, the solid rock, Christ is the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. So I looked at a couple passages, and specifically one that's found in both the book of Matthew and also Luke. It is entitled The Parable of the Wise and Foolish Builder. And I'd like to look at this verse actually out of the book of Luke first. It's found in the 6th chapter of Luke, verse 47. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. And once we get there, I'd also like to pray, get us started here. So Luke 6:47 is where we're going in the Bible. Lord, I want to thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. Jesus, I want to thank you for the gift of your Son. I thank you so much that through him we can experience forgiveness and new life. Father, that you show us what it means to be truly human, to live in the way that we were created and to follow you. Father, I pray for each one of these kids as they grow, that this time that we've invested in them, I pray that your word remain true in them. And as they grow, they will always be able to look back on this and understand this is where they are to build their lives. Also, Jesus, I want to think about our pastor, John, who's driving out to the Navajo Reservation right now. I want to pray for him for safe travel. May you protect him with your angels. I pray that you open the doors of the homes there on the Navajo Reservation. And, Father, that your name and your gospel be spread there as it is in every nation. Lord Jesus, again, we're so grateful for what you continue to do for us every day. We love you, Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So, what do we have here? Well, we have an illustration, a parable, if you will, where Jesus is contrasting really two men, two houses, and two foundations. One is wise, one is foolish. One stands, one collapses. One is built with a solid foundation, and one is not. But before we dig any deeper into this, I want to kind of give you the overall context of where we're at and what Jesus is referring to here. It's part of what our Bible's titled the Sermon on the Mount. And I love this part of the Bible. It's an amazing teaching. This is a time where Jesus has really, it's new in his relationship with his disciples, and he's gathering them to teach. And we're not just talking about the 12 right here, but probably a group that was closer to 70 or more. And Jesus is going around, he's traveling, he's teaching in the synagogues, and he's starting to just draw an amazing crowd. People are really encouraged by the way that he's speaking about the kingdom of God, and he's teaching about these things in a different way than the religious leaders of his day had at that time. So it was very attractive. But also, Jesus is healing people, right? And that draws a crowd. He's healing the sick and diseased, and the word is spreading all throughout the area. And so these crowds are starting to follow Jesus, and Jesus finds himself with his disciples in this crowd, and he pulls his disciples up, away from the crowd, up onto this mountaintop to teach them really this amazing sermon that we find in Matthew chapter 5. The crowds follow, and you know, I don't have enough time to go into all of it really, but what Jesus does here is he teaches the people that what God is looking for is not necessarily just external religious behavior in his people, but he's looking for the hearts of his people, for people who want to devote their lives to him. Because God can see right through the external behavior and see to our hearts, and he says that's what matters. You know, the people of Jesus' day, the religious teachers, were very good at crossing their T's and dotting their I's and making sure that they were following all of their religious rules, right? And they thought that was what justified them before God. But Jesus comes to them and tells them it's not like that. God sees right through that, and he wants the internal part of your heart. And God addressed this in the book of Isaiah through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And see, even back then, God was addressing this religious behavior versus a heart that is devoted to God. Now, Jesus continues that thought in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you know, "You have heard it said," right? Which means he's quoting their scriptures, the Old Testament. He says, "Do not murder," right? We know that comes from the Ten Commandments, and they would as well, and they would all agree with that. And then he just flips it on its head and says, "But I tell you, even if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty just the same." Right? Well, who could stand before that? I can't. You know, I think I'm not, you know, I'm a pretty mellow person, but I can't count the times about how many times I've been angry with people. Right? So I look at that and I say, well, what can I do? Well, I'm in trouble if that's the case. So we can fake the outward behavior, but God looks internally at our hearts. Now, let's go back to the passage and really pull this apart. I want to look at these two men specifically because one of the things that was just so interesting about this passage when I was studying it these last few weeks is when I read it, I see the headline, "The Wise and Foolish Builder," right? And to me, you know, I go to the, oh, okay, so this is simple. One guy doesn't believe in God, one does, or one is an atheist, one's a Christian, or whatever. There's this, you know, distinction between them that should be very easy for me to see. But when I pulled this apart, the amazing thing is you see these two guys are really similar. And it should be concerning for all of us to read this and understand. So let's look at the similarities between both these guys. So the first thing is both men want to build a house, right? That's a good thing. Both men see the importance of providing a home. I mean, that's where we spend our time. It's where we raise our families, right? That's a good thing. Both men are builders, right? They're not asking someone else to build their home for them. They're willing to do the work. It means they have the skills to put this together. Both men build their homes in the same general area. Now, how do we know this? Well, we know this because both homes are subject to the same storm. Both homes are subject to the same test. We see that both men understand the need for shelter and protection. You know, even with a mellow winter like the one we just experienced, most of us would die if we tried to live outside year-round, right? You know, I mean, some people do it, but I wouldn't suggest it. Our homes protect us from things like wind and rain and snow and cold. Our homes are warm inside when it's cold outside. And they do a good job of protecting us from, you know, wild animals and external threats. And, you know, I kind of laughed when I thought about that. But, man, I thought, you know, who wants to live in grizzly country in a tent? Not me. Right? I saw that movie. It doesn't end well. So our homes provide protection and shelter. Our houses are also meant to be safe places. Right? What father doesn't want his children to be safe? to grow up in a place that is emotionally and physically safe for our kids. I want my family to want to be in my home, a place where we can all gather. Now, a couple weeks ago, my father-in-law and I got to rebuild part of my backyard fence. It's fun, right? Rebuilding a fence. So the fence posts had gotten rotten just underneath the surface. And it's been there for, I don't know how many years, that fence. But we had a pretty nasty storm in January, just a wind kind of storm, you know. So I got up one morning and went outside, and 40 feet of my fence is laying flat in Forest Service land. And so I got to look forward to redoing that this year, which meant getting rid of everything and looking at replacing 5 fence posts. So I got the post hole digger, went out back. Anybody ever dug with a post hole digger here? Turns out we live on a mountain, which is built out of rocks, right? Clink! This is what you find. So 3 feet, I'm trying to get 3 feet. Are you kidding me? It was way harder than I thought. I'm running into rocks. I'm using the pile driver to try to get that stuff out of there. That was hard work. So why don't men take the time to build proper foundations? Because of that very reason. It's hard work, right? It's expensive. I mean, it costs a lot of money to dig that hole, to throw all that rebar and steel and concrete in there before you even start your home. And let's be honest, that's not the exciting part of your house, right? Who comes over to your house and says, hey, that's a really nice foundation you got there? Right? That just doesn't happen. But it's important that we invest really deeply into the structure that matters, this part that no one actually gets to see. You know, it's hard to do that. It's costly to follow Jesus. And oftentimes when we're doing these things, when we're praying, when we're studying, when we're meditating and fasting, these are things that go unseen. They're like the foundation of a home. They're essential to our lives, but nobody gets to see them, right? And so sometimes we neglect them for the things that look better on the outside. We like replacing tile in kitchens, right? And bathroom fixtures and those things that are superficial and easy. But foolishness is nearsighted. It doesn't see what it costs to do the long haul. You know, and I fight this in my own life every day. But I want things quickly. I want decisions now. And quite frankly, that behavior in my life has led to some foolish decisions. And those foolish decisions has led to some painful consequences. Right? I say that, and I know that there are many of you out here who know that and understand that. Right? So the wise man digs deep. The foolish man cuts corners. The foolish man sees the long road ahead, and he looks for a shortcut. The wise man knows that the foundation is what his house will stand on, what his home will either last or will not last upon. Because he knows one thing. We all know, really, that storms are coming in our lives, right? You can't escape it. And Jesus is a master storyteller. And I love this story because, you know, do you think that Jesus is really that concerned with architecture? It's, you know, the parallel here, what Jesus is teaching is about his people. And it's about their lives. It's about us, right? The interesting thing about the wise man is that he doesn't just hear the words of God, but he puts them into practice. It's what we're talking about with these kids who stand up here, to take what we're teaching you. For the last 8 years, we've been investing in you. And these kids up here who are about to graduate and go off to college, we pray and hope that the word of God has been invested into them so that they will go out and know to do these things, to practice the word of God. Because our lives are filled with storms. It's not a matter of if, but when. So where do we turn to when we experience suffering, experience pain, and loss? Well, the wise man turns to the word of God. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. In 2013, the self-improvement industry was worth $10 billion in the United States alone. You see, people are looking for answers. They're experiencing these storms. And Jesus tells us, unless we build our lives upon Him, that they will crumble eventually. This is why these kids have been focusing on this all year. Because if we don't invest in them, in the ministry of these kids, then we set them up to have houses that will crumble when the storms come. Now, I want to look at these two men. I want to take all of those illustrations that we just gave, the men that wanted to build their house, and they wanted to do it themselves, and they counted the cost. They had the skills, right? These men had good intentions. They both heard the word of God, but only one of them puts it to practice. This is a hard scripture for me to read because it really moves me to a point where I have to ask myself, am I really practicing the words of God? They're difficult. Jesus tells me to love my enemies. That's hard. Jesus tells me to forgive people, not because they deserve it, but because He's forgiven me. Jesus tells me to sacrifice for others, to lend without wanting it back. I have to truly ask myself, am I doing this regularly? Am I practicing the things that Jesus taught on a daily basis, not just months ago, but regularly? It really moves me to self-reflection. I hope it does the same for you. We need to ask ourselves, where are we spending our time, our energy, our money? What do we do when we experience the storms? Where do we run to? And not just the big stuff, but the little stuff, right? How do I respond when I'm frustrated, when my kids are difficult, when I'm inconvenienced? Because that's really probably a better test of where my loyalties lie, in those little things. Do I run to Jesus and His word or something else? Two choices. Jesus reminds us here, He warns us. It's important that we dig deep. Look, nobody's perfect, and we all make mistakes. And thankfully, God is very patient, very gracious with all of us. What's important to recognize here is that both of these two men on the outside look identical. They're busy, and we can get busy. We can get busy doing ministry, doing whatever it is we're doing, and then neglect the spiritual nourishment that God says is so important to the foundation of who we are. And this happens so quickly. You know, I was thinking back, and I'm just amazed. I've been a part of this church for 15 years now, and I know that there are many of you out there who have probably been here for twice that length. But you see this all the time. People come to Jesus, they come to church, they're excited about who He is and what He's done for them. They're excited about what's going on in the church. They start serving, coming to midweek Bible studies. And then one day they're just gone. Gone. Well, what happened? Well, a storm came that was bigger than their foundation. And they hadn't dug deep enough to survive it. I see that all the time, and it just breaks my heart. And it moves me, really, to ask myself, what am I doing to dig down deep? What am I doing to really make sure that my foundation is in Christ? What am I doing to help my children see their need for God as their foundation? What am I doing to give them the tools? It's not good enough for me as a dad just to bring them here midweek and have them go through programs. They need to see in my life that I'm willing to live these things out. Kids are, they see right through it. If we talk one thing and live another way, we'll see it in our kids. Am I willing to really put the words of Jesus into practice in my life? And when I do so, be that example for my kids. Grandparents, you have the same task. You know, this is the crazy thing about being a parent, right? You never stop. Well, you get to feed them full of sugar and send them home with their parents when you're grandparents, right? But you're always going to be a parent. You're always going to be an example. This body, this church, is always going to be an example of whether or not we really take the words of Jesus truthfully and seriously, or whether we don't. And I'll tell you what, when we do, this place becomes very attractive.
It's when we don't that people see right through this and say, why would I want to be any part of that? I could watch football on Sunday, right? So California, we're in a drought right now again, right? But other parts of the country, not so much. It was the East Coast's turn for snow this year, right? Which means it's ours next year. That's how it works, one side to the other. Anyway, Texas, this last week, you've seen the news. If you have a TV or listen to the news at all, you've seen that they have received a massive amount of rain this past week. They've received so much rain in the month of May. It's enough rain to cover the entire state of Texas 8 inches deep in water. Yeah. Okay, it has brought their entire state out of its drought in 1 month. So don't think it's not possible here. Be careful what you pray for. No, that's not The Walking Dead. That's Texas, 2015. That's not a river. Well, it is now. It's a highway. These guys were lucky enough to be prepared. They can get home. Right? See, the storms are coming. The rain is going to come in our lives. And Jesus says we better make sure that we have a proper foundation. Because if we don't, our homes are likely to look like this. And again, Jesus isn't just talking about wood and brick. He's talking about our lives. You know, in my early 20s, I was fortunate enough to have a friend who lived in Hermosa Beach, California, and I spent a summer there. If you don't know where that is, it's in what's called the South Bay, just west of Los Angeles. It's part of really three towns, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, and Redondo Beach. They all kind of flow into one, as much of the city does. But they're basically three towns built on a sand dune, right? And I spent that summer on my skateboard commuting in and out of town, back and forth, and I got to witness one of the coolest construction sites I've ever seen and watch it over the course of a few months build together. See, these people literally did live on sand. So they knew that building their houses right there was foolish. And I got to watch an excavator dig and dig and dig and dig, and it must have dug a hole 30 feet deep before they hit bedrock, where they could attach these steel I-beams and run these I-beams from the rock 30 feet up to the surface and then build their homes with a proper foundation. I mean, how expensive do you think that was? Just a home in Manhattan Beach, come on. But digging and building that foundation, they knew that if they didn't do that, it was a waste of time to even bother. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, I got some pictures for you. Proof's in the pudding here, right? This is a spot in Santa Barbara. Now, these homes are eventually going to lose the war of erosion of this hillside, but you can see what I'm talking about. And here's the catch. When the mountain was there, you couldn't see that at all. Nobody had any idea that these people took it that seriously and dug that deep. And if they hadn't, well, that home would already be gone, right? These people knew the importance of digging to the rock, of physically going down as deep as they needed to hit a solid foundation. So how do we know that we have dug deep? Or we're asking this question, what does that even mean to dig deep? What does it even mean to really build our lives on Christ? And it's really simple here. I'm going to give you an acronym that comes out of the book of Matthew. And this is in the account in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is finishing this and giving his people some instruction. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 7:7 with me. And we'll read that. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have done to you. This is pretty simple. Ask. Ask God what it means to build your life on Christ, right? Seek it in his word. Knock on the door. All three of these are a symbol of persistence, of somebody who is willing to go back and back and back. And this is what God wants from us. Not just the external behavior, but he wants a heart and a soul that's connected to him, that is persistently chasing after him on a daily basis. Not just saying a prayer or making a decision once, but rather a life that is in pursuit of God. So, I mean, aren't these words encouraging? There's no prerequisite to grace other than asking for it, right? Seeking God's counsel in his word and actively putting these things into practice in our lives. This is what it means to build our lives on Christ and to put these things into practice. God is gracious, and if we approach him, he's like a father who wants to bless his children and give us that. Doesn't matter how smart we are, how much money we have, God wants a heart that's persistent after him, and each one of us in this room can give it to him. You see, just like these two builders, every one of us in this room, we look very similar on the outside. And on the outside, we could be doing all the same things. But the question God asks us is, where is our heart? Why are we doing these things? Why are we showing up here? Because if it's just to put a star on the fridge and give your hour a week to God, he's not interested. He wants a people that want to pursue him on a regular basis. And I pray that we can do that as a church. I pray that we can do that as parents, as grandparents, as people in this community, and be a light to South Lake Tahoe, that people would see our God because of our love for him and our love for one another. I'd like to close today with finishing the passage in 1 Corinthians that I mentioned earlier, Paul in chapter 3, verse 10, if you want to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, there's a couple important things to grasp here, and before we finish, we see the parallel. Jesus is talking about our homes, and he's talking about storms and water. But in this passage, we see that Paul is not just talking about our lives here and our homes here. The word day here is capital. It references the day of judgment, the day that every man, every woman, every child will stand before God and account for his life. And Paul says, he reiterates the teaching of Jesus here, if we have built our lives, invested our time, our energy, our money on anything other than the foundation of Christ. I mean, it's okay to have hobbies and enjoy life, But if our foundation is built on anything other than Christ and his work, we're in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. So I would encourage every one of you this week to ask yourself some difficult questions. Ask yourself, where are you cutting corners in your foundation? Where are you willing to take shortcuts when it comes to investing in your spiritual life and in the life of your children? Jesus tells us the wise man builds on the rock. I pray that all of us would do that. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful because we know that we cannot stand alone. And we don't need to. Father, you have so graciously given us your hand, taken the place of judgment on the cross that we deserve. And for that, Father, I pray that we would be grateful every single day of our lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would hold on to the words, "Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than anything else this world could offer." May we take seriously the importance of building our foundation, of being that example in the lives of our friends, our family, our coworkers, our children. May they see you as the bedrock of everything that we've built our lives on. Jesus, we ask, because we are weak, that you help us with our unbelief, that you help us to put your words into practice. It's not easy to do, but we know we don't do it alone. We ask your Holy Spirit, guide us in the understanding of your word and help us to practice it. Jesus, help us to leave here today and be people of your word, that this community may see and be attracted to you through our lives. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen.